Joining us on the line now from the UK is Karim Lalani, who's been interested in the exploits of Amy Johnson for years. Amy Johnson was, of course, the first female pilot to fly alone from Britain to Australia. A local news item to mark the 60th anniversary of her death led him to write her story, Unto the Skies. Welcome to the show, Karim.
Good morning, and thank you for inviting me.
Oh, pleasure. Thanks very much for joining us. So tell me, when and why did you first become really interested in Amy Johnson and everything she achieved?
Well, my first memory of it, because I grew up in Croydon, she was obviously a prominent figure in that area, and I used to visit or drive past the Croydon airport on more than one occasion. But I seem to remember it was an assembly that had at school in the 1980, which marked the 50th anniversary, and one of my teachers was very, very enthusiastic about Amy Johnson and talked at great length about her. And I think a seed must have planted in my head, because the subject kept coming up and coming up, and I sort of waited until I was ready to write this book. And strangely enough, I was in between employments. I'd come to an end with another project I've been working on, and I said, well, this thought to myself, well, this is the time to do it. If I don't do it now, I probably never will. It will keep getting putting off.
Yeah.
So I just sort of marched straight into it and never looked back, really.
Well done. So it must have been fun doing more research about her and her life, was it?
It was great fun, yes. Very time-consuming as well. I mean, the entire project took 6 years to complete, and it's now sat in sort of waiting to find a publisher for another 6.5 years. So the whole project's been more than a decade in the coming towards what I have now got, which is just under a week towards publication. So it's very exciting.
Oh, fantastic. So what did you already know about Amy Johnson then? What are the facts?
Well, the facts I knew was that she flew to Australia and was the first woman to do it. That she grew up in Hull, but for some reason she flew from Croydon. I knew to the extent that Croydon was known as the airport of the Empire in the interwar years, when aviation was still just getting up and running, and that she died in mysterious circumstances. Because I think one of the other triggers to finally decide to write the book was an item on BBC local news in South East covering Kent and Surrey and Sussex, because she actually perished in the Thames estuary on the 5th of January 1941. And in the 2001, I think it was, they were going to do a big sort of try and find her remains and find out what actually happened to her. So I think that was the final spur to actually sort of say, well, now is the time to sort of either do the book or put it to bed forever. So,
and how did they get on? In 2001, when you said they were going to try and find remains, how did they get on with that? I don't remember that.
I don't think they'd ever find remains. They were just going to find out a bit more about the mystery of it, of where she actually went down, what caused her to go down. Because there were many theories as to whether she was a victim of friendly fire, whether has been discovered since that it was just a case that she ran out of fuel and had to jettison the aircraft.
Yeah. And in all your research, has your opinion changed on what you think may have happened to her?
Well, no, I think it is, as the documentary that was broadcast just before her centenary, that she did actually probably run out of fuel and had to jettison the aircraft. And then, unfortunately, there was a convoy that actually sort of its propeller came down on top of her. That's one of the theories that that documentary, The Real Amy Johnson, actually purported in 2003.
Mm, okay. And when she did her famous solo flight, I didn't realise she was only 26.
Yes, 26.
That's amazing.
She actually celebrated her 27th birthday in Australia just before she headed back home towards England. Her birthday's on July the 1st. And it took 19 and a half days for her to get there, and many pitfalls along the way. And I think this is one of the reasons why I wrote the book, really, is that the story still resonates today with public. I mean, you know, she sort of symbolised that kind of old-fashioned British pluck that people had identified and associated with Captain Scott and the Campbells and their land speed records, and also, of course, Sir Edmund Hillary mounting up Everest. There's this old kind of Corinthian spirit of pluck and courage that you're going to do this no matter what.
Mm. So tell us a bit more about that journey then that she did from Britain to Australia. What year was it?
Well, it started on the 5th of May 1930, and she arrived 19 days later on the 24th of May. A lot of false starts along the way, a lot of unscheduled stops, so bad weather was what ultimately stopped her from breaking the record. She set the record from England to India, but after India, the weather sort of was against her, and there was lots of monsoon rains, lots of unscheduled stops, which is all actually sort of described in the book. And one of the dilemmas I had, of course, is because everybody knew that she made it, there was only a certain amount of jeopardy I could put into describing the journey. But it was, people who buy the book will obviously see the trials and tribulations you've got in getting there. And even before she got to India and broke the record, there were incidents in the desert outside Iraq when she was forced down by a sandstorm, and there was damage to the plane at various spots along the route as well.
Isn't it amazing how much we've advanced in aviation since then? I mean, for it to take 19 days for a start is amazing, isn't it?
It is remarkable. And this is another thing that a lot of people and previous biographers of Amy Johnson and all those flyers of that period have established, is that they proved it during that period that they could break a record, even shaving minutes and seconds off any record between any two compass points on the globe. But by the mid-30s, scheduled services were taking over, and, you know, the age of the pioneer flyer was sort of coming to an end. But Amy, Amelia Earhart, and figures like that, they still sort of symbolise that age. So you look back on it now, I think, with nostalgia, and I'm hoping that is one of the things that will be a hook for people to buy the book.
So what do we know about her background then? How did she get into aviation?
Well, that was very much a spur-of-the-moment thing, really. She was working as a solicitor's typist for a firm of solicitors in London. She wanted to have something to do at the weekend, and she apparently boarded a bus to the London Aeroplane Club one Saturday, slumped down into a deck chair, and she found her new home. I think I described that in chapter 5 of the book, where she finally found something outside of work that really sort of held her. I mean, she'd had a few sort of, she'd had a long-standing relationship, which I also describe in the book, that never really sort of went anywhere, despite her sort of hopes that it would, and it eventually petered out when he married somebody else. So I think by the time she'd actually got into the, caught the flying bug, this was something, aside from her work and family, that really gave her a sense of belonging.
Mm. So how many hours of flying did she have to put in before she could take on that massive trip?
Well, it took her a long time. I don't know, off the top of my head the number of hours, because for the simple reason is her flying lessons were interrupted while she saved up money to pay for new ones. It was a very expensive hobby to learn to fly in those days. Many women didn't actually take up flying, and on a secretary's salary, she cut her living expenses to the bone and sort of put everything into flying lessons. And she had about three different tutors, so that didn't help, because tutors were leaving and she would be reassigned from one tutor to another midway. So it did obviously take a long time, through no fault of her own, to actually get that pilot's license. But once she got that, she then got the B license, which I believe is the one that entitles you to take passengers. And then I think in the December, just before she planned her flight, she actually secured what's known as the C license, which actually qualified her as a ground engineer.
Oh. So she learnt an awful lot then, didn't she?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And then she left her job in the solicitors, and her father sort of supported her financially so that she could do flying as a job. And she got an unpaid role in the hangars at the London Aeroplane Club, working for nothing, and got support and learned how to... learn a trade of how to fix the aeroplanes as well as fly them.
Mm, amazing. Well, if people want to learn more about the story of Amy Johnson, they can get a copy of your book. It's called Unto the Skies, and it's by Karim Lalani, who we've been chatting to today. On the book, it says K.A. Lalani. Karim, thank you so much for joining us. It's been lovely to chat with you.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.